If you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you can take them and turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 6. The last several times that I preached, we've been working through the Sermon on the Mount. We will continue with that series here this morning in Matthew, chapter 6. There was a miser. Just before he died, he called his doctor and his minister and his lawyer. And he said to them, I have $90,000 hidden in my mattress in three separate envelopes. I have been told that you can't take it with you, but I want to prove otherwise. So I want each of you to take one of these envelopes, and just before they throw the dirt on my coffin, I want you to throw one of those envelopes in, proving that I can take it with me. Weeks later, they attended his funeral, and each of them threw their envelope onto his grave. On the way back from the cemetery, the minister says, I must confess, we have a building project going on in our church, and I took $10,000 and I only threw $20,000 on the grave. And the doctor said, I too must confess, I needed some money for my practice, and so I took $20,000 and I only threw $10,000 on the grave. The lawyer looked at them both and said, Gentlemen, I am surprised and ashamed of both of you. I'll have you know I wrote a personal check for the entire amount and threw it on the grave. Many of us have heard that we can't take it with us. And many of us have heard that says that Christians, we shouldn't worry about things in life. Now, this is only partly true. We do live in a fearful world, and we do live in a world where there are plenty of things to worry about. We live in a world where things can be gone in a moment. Our health, our families, our homes, our jobs, our retirement, our freedom, our economy. You know, even our country, these things can be gone. And we spend lots of time worrying. And in today's passage, we're going to see Jesus offering us a promise, an important promise. This promise is this: we don't have to worry about things in this life, but we don't have to worry if we store up proper treasures. We don't have to worry if we serve the proper master. And we don't have to worry if we truly, truly seek his kingdom. Then and only then can we go through life and not worry. As we look at this passage here this morning, as we talk through it, let me ask you the question, how much do we truly trust and rely on God? Or do we really put our trust and rely on the things that we can do and in who we are? Let's read together Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, or thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So then, if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life, as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe the lilies of the field, and how they grow, and do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows what you need, that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these will be added unto you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. We need to see that we need to focus on the right things. Verse 19, it says right there, it says stop. Stop worrying. Stop focusing on these things that don't matter. Stop building up for yourselves treasures here on the earth and change our focus. Here in the ancient times, in the ancient world, they had built up these treasures, and these worldly treasures consisted of things like clothing and precious metal. And these treasures were in danger. Moth and rust, they could destroy these treasures. Thieves could come in and they could steal them. And these ancient people stored these treasures up, knowing that they were in danger. And so often we do the same thing. We store up for ourselves earthly treasures, things that we think are so important that can be gone very, very quickly. And we need to evaluate our treasures. Now, what kind of treasures do we store up? Do we spend so much time of our lives building up things and getting things that are temporary, things that are not eternal, things that in the big scheme of things don't really matter? These earthly treasures, they're here and then gone, instead of eternal treasures which last forever. You know, oftentimes we worry about things like our retirement and how we're going to finance our future, and we spend this time working on these things, and we have to have a plan, and I get it. We have to have a plan. I mean, I have a plan for my retirement. I have told my children they are my plan for retirement. I am going to sell my house, and I'm going to buy an RV. And I'm going to take my RV, and I'm going to park it in front of each of their homes. And I'm going to go into their house, and I'm going to eat their food, all of it. And I'm going to leave my dishes in the sink or maybe on a table or someplace else. And then when I leave their house, I'm going to bum some gas money so I can drive to the next house. It's a great plan for retirement. They've done that to me for a lot of years. We can just return that favor, right? We have a plan. Look, there's nothing wrong with planning. There is nothing wrong with making sure that our future is secure and making sure that things are okay. But there is something wrong with obsessing. There is something wrong when we focus so much on the future and what the future holds that we miss out on ministering opportunities today. We miss out on what God may have for us right now because we're so focused on what the future holds. I had a friend, a guy that I knew one time, who worked hard and he made a good life. And his goal was that when he retired, he was going to serve God and he was going to devote himself full time to service. And so he spent his time working toward that goal. And he built up his retirement and he retired excited to serve God. Within 6 months of his retirement, he developed cancer and passed away. And as he was in his last days of life, I was visiting with this friend of mine and he said, "I wish I could do it all over again. I wish I wouldn't have spent so much of my time looking for what I was going to do and spent more time doing what God had me to do at that time." We need to keep things in perspective. Look, Jesus is not against us making money. He's not against us having things. He doesn't say that we should not plan for the future. He doesn't say that we need to renounce our treasures and get rid of them all. And there are some popular teachings right now that say that we need to get rid of everything and just serve God and we should have nothing. That's not the teaching that he has here. But this is what he is saying. We need to rethink our treasures. We need to rethink how we do things. We can't take them with us, but we sure can send it on ahead, and there can be eternal rewards for what we do. See, here's the perspective. Here's what we need to understand. God is the owner, and we are the managers. My name is on the account with him so that I might manage everything that he gives us. He has entrusted me with stuff, and I am supposed to use that for his need. So I have to be careful. I don't want to be a mismanager of what God has allowed me to have. I don't want to misappropriate God's funds. I don't want to embezzle from God. I want to be the manager of what God has allowed me to have. So instead, we need to see how he wants us to invest what he's given us. As we do it, then we will glorify him. As we do that, we will benefit his church. As we do that, we will expand his kingdom. And then we'll stand before him someday and we'll be rewarded for his faithfulness. This is something that I really do try to practice in my life, in my home. I understand my home is not mine, and we have people in our home all the time, and we have teenagers in our home all the time, and I have holes in the wall and scuff marks and stuff to prove that they're in the house. And our home is something that God has given us as a tool for ministry. Several years ago, I bought a new truck, and I was really excited about the truck, and I like my truck. I still have it. It's nowhere near new anymore. And we took it to do firewood on the mountain with our teenagers, and I'd only had the truck for a short time, and I'm watching one of my teenagers take a log, and he's got this big bed that he can aim for, but somehow he manages to smack right into the side of my truck and put a big old dent in my truck. It's a truck, right? It's just a truck. I've loaned my truck out, and I've had a friend borrow it and come back, and my tailgate no longer opens, and it's broken, and there's dents in the truck, and there's scratches on it. And you know what? It's a truck. It's used for ministry. What has God given us? Think about the things that God has entrusted to us, and how do we use that for what God is doing? You know, again, it's okay to make money. It's okay to get ahead financially, but understand what we're blessed with isn't the end. What we're blessed with is a means to an end. As we manage what God has given us and what God has entrusted us, we bring Him glory, we benefit His kingdom, we see others come to know what it means to have a relationship with Christ, and honestly, that should bring us joy. More than the stuff, seeing how God uses what He's doing in our lives should bring us true joy. But this requires us to truly focus on Him. Verse 20 and 21, Jesus says, "But store for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Maintaining our focus on the prize, managing what He's entrusted us to, building up those treasures, understanding who we are in relationship to Him. We are created for a person. We are created to be in relationship with a person, and that person is Jesus. And we will never find satisfaction in anything else other than that relationship with Jesus. There is nothing else we can do that will bring us hope, that will bring us satisfaction, that will make us complete other than that relationship in Him. We also need to understand that the world is not our home. This is a temporary residing place for us. It's very seldom that somebody will invest a whole lot in some place that's not theirs, that is temporary to them. They don't spend lots of money investing in places that they're going to leave shortly. Don't spend all of our time investing in a place that really ultimately isn't our home, because our home is going to be in heaven with our Father for eternity. So this means in our lives that we have to make choices. And we have to maybe give up some things that we want in order to benefit something that maybe God has that is better. And are we willing to do that? Are we willing to put those things aside and put our wants aside and say, "God, what do you have for me?" Are we willing to truly trust God's provision and allow Him to use what we have for ministry? See, I often wonder if that's not really part of our problem as an American church. Do we have a trust issue? Do we truly trust in and rely on God? And we know that God will provide. We need to have the right attitude. In verse 22 through 24, it says this: "The eye is the lamp of the body. So then if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." Having the right attitude. If we compare ourselves to other people, then we're probably storing up the wrong kinds of treasures. If we're looking at other people and we're envying what other people have and we're wishing that we had what they had, then we are storing up for ourselves the wrong treasures. If we are looking down on other people and looking at how good we are, we're storing up for ourselves the wrong treasures. If we are expecting other people to look up to us and we are doing things so that people can see how good that we are, then we are storing up for us the wrong treasures. If there's something that we are unwilling to give up to obey Jesus' calling in our life, then we're storing up the wrong treasures. And we have every reason to believe that those treasures can be taken away and they can be gone. But if you set your purpose on the things that God is, if you set your purpose on giving, which is a heavenly principle, if you set your purpose on serving, which is something that pleases God, then our character will radiate God's goodness, and we're storing up proper treasures, and we're storing up things that will last for eternity. On the other hand, if our focus is not set toward God and it's not set toward others, then really our purpose is worthless. We can't have a single purpose of pleasing ourselves and pleasing what we want and a single purpose of pleasing God. They don't go together. In doing so, it says here that we're living a life that is encompassed in darkness. Put it in the other way, it says that our life will be absent from His light and from His influence. We can't do both. Jesus gives us this great heavenly principle in verse 24, and He says you can't serve two masters. It's not possible to do that. If you are serving yourself, then you are hating and despising God. If you are serving the world, then you are hating and despising God. The verse suggests here is slave owner, and a slave owner demands total and complete allegiance. We all have a master. We all have one. We all have something that we serve. For some, our master can be our job. We serve our jobs. For some, it can be a house, and our home has become more important than our relationship with God. For some, our master is our hobby. It's the things that we like to do, and we place those things and spend so much time on them, they replace our relationship with God. Sometimes our master is our bank account, and we spend so much time building that bank account that we do not serve our God. Sometimes that master can be a family member. Sometimes that master can be a relationship that we have. All these things that become more important to us than a relationship to God. Look, we all have a master. Jesus tells us we all have a master. He tells us we can't have two. We can only have one. Do you have something in your life that you're unwilling to give up? Something in your life that is so important to you that you can't do something God has called? It's probably a master. If you can't follow God, if you can't serve someplace because something else is more important in your life, then that is probably your master. And we have to evaluate those things and decide what they are. You see, the truth is that you can serve Jesus and you can work in construction. You can serve Jesus and you can be a very productive nurse. You can serve Jesus and you can be a successful business owner. You can serve Jesus and you can be a teacher. You can serve Jesus and you can have a good income and you can have a good bank account. You can do all of these things, but only if these things are secondary to who He is. If you tell Jesus these things are more important than He is, then you can't have both. All these things are important. All these things are good, but they're good in perspective in a relationship with Him. Think. As I was preparing the sermon and I was sitting, spending some time, I began to think about my life. And I began to think about things that I have that sometimes are more important than Jesus. And if I'm honest with myself, there are things in my life that sometimes I put too high of a priority on. And so I began to think, what are some of these things and how I need to put myself and my life back in perspective? And I'm going to ask you to do the same thing. Think, what is it that is more important in your life than Jesus? Is that becoming a master? And evaluate what you need to do with that. Because if we do that, we see the way that we can truly trust Him. In verses 25 through 34, it says, "For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor your body as to what you will put on. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth more than they are? And who of you, being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into this furnace, will He not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Jesus tells us, look, don't worry. The word here for worried means distracted. Don't be distracted. Don't let anxiety and distraction keep us from the important things of life. Over the last few weeks, I've had the opportunity to take two mission trips. I had an opportunity to take a trip to Haiti. Haiti is probably the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. And then I had the opportunity to take a trip to Calgary. And Calgary is one of the wealthiest cities in North America. Two total opposites, but both with the dangers of being distracted. In Haiti, there's the dangers of being distracted by the things that you don't have and being distracted by what things that you may think you need but you don't have. And in Calgary, there's the distractions of having too much stuff. And in both of these areas, you see these distractions. And I learned a couple great lessons from some friends of mine in both of these places. In Haiti, there's a young man named Chanel, and Chanel is one of the translators. He works at the guest house, and Chanel is preparing for his wedding. He's getting married in August. And as Chanel prepares for his wedding, last year he showed us his house, and he lives in this little brick house, and there's no electricity in Chanel's house. And one of our team members asked him if he had any prospect of getting electricity, and he says, no, there's no electricity near my house. We can't get it where I am. And so he has this little house with no electricity, and he sleeps on the floor, and they just have blankets and stuff on the floor, and he doesn't own a bed. And Chanel is getting married in August, and a house with no electricity and a bedroom with no bed. And he just adopted a 13-year-old girl because her parents couldn't take care of her. And Chanel had more than what they had. So now he's taking care of her. And Chanel's content. And he's happy. And he's not distracted because he's serving God. I have another friend of mine in Calgary. And this friend in Calgary had spent a lot of time accumulating stuff. Very successful in business, and spent a lot of time traveling and a lot of time on vacations, and he owns a boat, and he owns a camper, and he spends a lot of time doing those things. And he shared with me, he says, you know, I got all this stuff, and it never made me happy. And I kept trying to find more and more things that would make me happy, and then I got involved in the church at Southwinds, and I came to understand what it meant to have a relationship with Jesus. And he said, I realized that there was no stuff that was going to make me happy. This man still has his stuff, and he still goes on vacations, but they become secondary to his relationship with Jesus, and he's no longer distracted by those things. Jesus says, we shouldn't worry. We shouldn't be distracted. And look, he says, isn't our life and our body more important than food and clothing in verse 25? He says, certainly, life and body, they're important, but God provides for our needs. He provides for these things. He is powerful enough to create our life. Isn't he powerful enough to provide for it and to sustain us and to give us the things that we need? Isn't the God who created us able to provide for us if we trust him? He says, look at the birds of the air. Are you not more valuable than they are? This is an example of God's ability to provide. The working in nature, God provides for their needs. You notice the birds, they do stuff. The birds aren't just hanging out. The birds are doing things. They're building their nests, and they're gathering their food, and they're doing these things. And right now in our new building, they're doing those things over there. If you go in there, there's birds flying around, and there's nests in our new building. They're doing these things. They're working, but God's the one who is providing. They aren't guilty of overdoing. They're just doing. Aren't we more valuable than they? If God provides to them, can he provide for us? Why are we more valuable than the birds? Because we are created in the image of God. Why are we more valuable than they? Because we are redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Why are we so concerned and distracted when we have a God who cares for us so much? The birds, they're not redeemed by the blood of Jesus. They're not created in the image of God. God cares for them. How much more we care for us? In verse 27, it says, can you grow simply by worrying? This argument illustrates the helplessness of man. There are many things in this life that we worry about, and there's many things in this life we worry about that we can't change the outcome. I mean, let's be honest. How many of us have spent a lot of time worrying about something? Maybe lost some sleep, really spent time just pondering over these things, and then when the event happens, it wasn't that big of a deal anyway, and we wasted all of our time worrying over something that doesn't matter. We need to put that all into perspective. The implication here says worrying about food and clothing, they can't guarantee that we're going to have them tomorrow anyway. Let's put our trust in who he is. Then it says, consider the lilies of the field in verses 28 through 30. Another example of God's ability and his willingness to provide. It says, look how they grow. They don't do anything. They're just there, and they grow. And God makes them beautiful. And it says, their glory surpasses Solomon in all his glory because God cares. How much more does God care for us? That he will take care of us. He is able and he is willing to do that. Again, we are created in his image. We are designed to spend eternity with him. And yet we worry about the things that we have here. It says, ye of little faith. we have little faith in God's ability to provide for us. We have little faith in God's promise to care for us. And sometimes we have little faith in God's power to deliver that promise. But we have a God, a Heavenly Father, who truly does love us and knows what we need, and we need to trust in Him and focus on that provision. Verse 33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. We must make the will of God the number one priority in our life. And we do this by serving God and by laying up treasures that are in heaven. We do this and we serve Him and we trust God that He's going to provide for everything else because He's able and He's willing. And it says, and don't worry about tomorrow in verse 34. Tomorrow's enough trouble of its own. Honestly, I can't handle the things that are happening today, let alone worry about what's happening tomorrow. And that's the idea here is there's enough to do today without worrying about tomorrow. Worry about the things that are happening now. Today's problems are all we're capable of. Let tomorrow take care of itself. Again, trusting God and doing His will. Giving our undivided attention to Him. Seeking His kingdom and His righteousness. And allowing God to add the things that we need. Be concerned with what God's concerned about. And not concerned with the things that we may have or not have. Let me just share with you just a few things. Just kind of think about as we close together. When we're no longer focused on this world, we don't have to worry. When we're no longer living for this world, we don't have to worry. When we get to a point in our life when we are happy with what God gives us, then we don't have to worry. When we get to a point when we're happy with what God takes away from us, then we no longer have to worry. When we are living for another world, we don't have to worry. And when we're serving another kingdom and we're serving Him, we can live a life that we don't have to worry. So this morning, what is God saying to you? Here this morning, maybe you're here and you're struggling with some of this stuff. Maybe you're here this morning and you're struggling with some things of worry. What do you need to give up to God? Maybe you're here this morning and God's calling you to something. Maybe God is speaking to you and He's calling you to something and you've given God all the reasons why you can't do it. Maybe God is saying to you this morning, look, I have a better plan for you. Quit worrying, trust in me, and follow me.